Hey, welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. We are here. We got another episode. I am here with Pastor Dan.
Hello, everybody.
And as you guys stay tuned all the way through today, we're gonna talk about something kind of just simple.
Life. Love.
You know, we're here, and we'll just give it away. We're in the middle of the week. It's on a Wednesday. We're recording today. It depends. Well, you don't always record the same day, but we record.
Sometimes it's a Thursday.
Yeah, sometimes it's a Thursday. But Wednesday, you're coming off. We're in the top of the day. You're coming off of your days off.
Yeah, my days off are Mondays and Tuesdays.
And that's your Sabbath and your rest days.
Supposed to be.
How was your time off, Pastor? Now, happy Monday for you, but it's Wednesday.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yesterday was a frustrating day. It's kind of like nothing went right.
Right.
You know, and not just for me. It was funny because, like, talking to my family, too, my daughter lost a card, and I found it in the dryer, but she needs it for school even to get food and stuff like that. So she wasn't even eating properly.
Oh, like her dorm card or
something?
Yeah,
you got to use it to get your food and all that kind of stuff. So she didn't have that. So she had to go pay $20 and get a new card. And, you know, she's just fractured her foot. And so she's having trouble with mobility and all that good stuff. And so she's frustrated. I went and I met up with Pastor Jess. She was getting her nails done. I had to go to the bank. My debit card, for some reason, the PIN wasn't working. It was a new one, so I guess they gave me a new PIN, and I didn't know.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to, like, go figure all that out and call a number and put in the new PIN and all that good stuff. And so, I mean, it's little things like that, and not one big frustrating thing. I mean, I had a lock that was broken that I couldn't get, and I had to, like, saw through. Have you ever had to saw through? Like,
I haven't, but I've had to break, I guess, like a lock, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, I had to literally get the hacksaw. And just sit there for I don't know how long. Yeah. I just saw through. My boy came out after work and he's like, "What are you doing, Dad?" You know, I'm out there in the garage.
Eight hours later.
So yeah, I know. I was like, and I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. Yeah. And then I went to, I had to go and get some documents done at the city. And when I went in to one place, I called in first to see if I needed an appointment. They said no walk-ins only. And then their payment was either like cash or money or something. Like, okay, so I go get cash. And, you know, when I went, they have different locations, different cities. So I called the one city, but then I went to a different city.
Yeah.
Well, that different city only does appointments.
Oh,
so then I drive back to the city that I started with. Yeah. And then when I get there, they had a paper that they had sent. And so I'm like, well, can I just get, you know, I forgot the paper. Can I get a new one? And I'll just fill it out. No, you have to bring in the paper that was sent. And it's like, okay, it's like all the way back at home. It's like a 20-minute drive. I'll be 20 minutes there, 20 minutes. That's 40 minutes in the car for a single sheet of paper. Like, is there anything we can do? And they're like, well, and the guy, I should have known, because the guy, like, he leaned in. And he's like, well, I'll tell you the best I can do is that if you email it to me, then we can print it and get the information out there. And I'm like, oh, perfect. So my wife's at home, so I call her, and I'm, like, walking her through, okay, take the iPad. Pull down the thing, go to files, see how it says scan a document. Like, and it's kind of intuitive. It's kind of neat once you learn how to do it. You can scan a PDF, you know? And so, like,
from a screenshot or something like that.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. And then it saves it to your files, all that kind of stuff. So I'm like walking her through that whole process. And of course, it's her first time doing it. So it's not like perfect. And then she keeps like, keeps doing it. So there's like five of the same picture, you know? And I'm just grateful that she did it. And then that goes straight to my phone, you know, okay, so I'm like able to pick it up. And then I'm like ready to email it to the guy. But then he's helping someone else out. So this other lady comes up and she's like, hi, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, I'm here to turn in this document. But, you know, he said that if I could get it to, so can I email it to you? And that way you guys can have it. And she's like, we can't do that. And I'm like, he just said that he could do that. She says, I've only been told. We can't. So you can go to like a local library and print it off.
That's what that email voice was.
I think I mean, that's why he leaned in. Yeah, he's like, I'll hook you up, bro. But you didn't hear it from me, you know, in case anybody asks. Yeah. Like, we can't print a piece of paper. By the way, don't I pay your salaries here? Like, isn't it my tax dollars that are at work or not at work, I guess,
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just one of those days where it's just like,
the culmination of a lot of little things.
It was one of those things, like, it seemed like everything's going wrong. And, you know, I was talking to Jess. She's trying to get a hold of somebody for 3 days. Can't get a hold of them. And then finally they show up and they're all like, hey, what's up? And she's just like, where have you been? You know? Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're fine. You know? Yeah. And she's all worried. You know, it's just, it's not one thing. It's everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's where we try and keep our joy and we try and stay, you know, But sometimes it's just tough the way the world, and like even when your own life is like that, you want to look outside and see like it, maybe there's some goodness somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then you get on online and it's like, man, the whole world is going to hell.
Right. Yep.
And so what do we do with that?
Right.
You know? Help me out, Pastor Antonio. No. Maybe I need some counseling here.
I agree, Pastor. I think sometimes there's this burst of reality. And I think, you know, why would we even talk about this on a podcast?
It's because
sometimes we could look at our spiritual leaders. And I mean, again, hey, it's wait. So Pastor Dan gets a case of the Mondays, you know, like it is a case of the Monday, you know, everything. It's not all. It's Hey, I know my job is rough, but I bet those pastors or, those.
Here's Pastor what they say about pastors. We work one day a week. And the rest of the time we golf.
For a couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours just talking, which how hard is it to talk?
Yeah.
I mean, people don't understand. I spend hours.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, literally preparing, reading.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are like, have you read any good books lately? Right. The answer is always no. I read so much that I'm done. Like, I've got reading fatigue by the time the end of the week hits. Yeah. I don't want all my days off to read a good book because I've read, like, and I'm not exaggerating, probably 8 different books for one message.
Right. The commentaries and researching.
Absolutely. You know, and then digging up the stories that I use. I mean, sometimes people, where do you get your stories? Is it like a website? Yes. There's like 3 different websites that I use, or I'm listening to, other messages of people that surround the same thing, and they've got a great illustration. They've done the work for me. So I'll borrow that story.
Of course.
You know, what do we have that we didn't get from God?
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
And so like, but that takes time and it takes effort and it takes work and it takes thought. And so, on my days off, I don't want to read. Yeah, I get in the car.
Yeah.
And I just don't even have the radio on.
Right.
No music.
Just science. Because it's like information overload.
Oh, I tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people are like, oh, I just always love having praise and worship on and this and that. I like praise and worship. I love to worship God. I love to sing. I'm a musician, you know. And I think that there's some great stuff out there. But, I mean, think about it. I'm in 5 church services a week.
Yeah.
I'm singing a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, I don't want to listen to music.
Right.
You know? And if I am listening to music, I don't want it to be church music, you know? Because I'm a little, again, fatigued.
Yeah.
There was a time where Christian music was just like music that's Christian. It wasn't necessarily worship. Now, I mean, even the major radio stations, worship now, you know? And it's like, well, what if I just want to like turn my brain off and just have music?
Yeah.
You know, it's
almost like a background thing. Yeah.
And some artists are starting to come out with some things that aren't so praise and worship. Not that there's anything wrong with
that.
No,
I hear you.
I'm fatigued.
Yeah. So that exists. What does that feel like? What does that look like? Is this a bad thing? Is this something that need to be fixed, addressed? Is it dangerous? Is it normal?
I think it's very normal.
Right.
I think the hard part is that we feel like if we're not completely happy and completely at peace, that something is wrong.
Or if it feels any kind of strain or...
Yeah. And I think that's where, there are indicator lights that there is something wrong.
Yeah.
And definitely have to pay attention to those things.
Right.
And burnout is real. Fatigue is real.
Yeah.
But just like anybody in any athletics or even in music or different things like that, there is fatigue that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And really the remedy is rest.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's why God put the Sabbath.
Yeah.
The Sabbath was made for man.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, not man for the Sabbath.
Not man for the Sabbath, but for man. You know, it's not a legalistic requirement. It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. Take a day off, you know. And I think the hard part is, too, with our society, we're going so fast, like even just driving. My wife and I, we've talked about when we've gone out of state and we drive in other states, and then when we come back to California, I mean, just merging can make you lose your salvation.
The pace,
seriously. Yeah. I mean, you go to other places and you're driving 35 to 55 everywhere.
Yeah.
You get on the California freeway, everyone's doing 80, 90, and you're trying to do 65 and they're passing you up, flipping you off, It's just a different beast and a different world that we live in, you know? Grocery markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched a war movie the other day, and they showed the reality of what these guys deal with out there on the battlefield, and then the guy came home on furlough, and he's standing in the cereal aisle.
Yeah.
And literally, as far as the eye could see in both directions, there were cereal boxes, and he was just standing there like trying to choose one type.
Well, I mean, so that makes me think of the different types of fatigue. I mean, I know there's decision fatigue.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in a day full of meetings and things where I have to make decisions on. And, I'm sure, and then you, like, you come home. What's for dinner? I don't want to make one more decision.
I don't want to choose. Yeah.
What are we doing? What
put food on the table.
I don't want to make one more decision.
Yeah.
There's decision fatigue where you can kind of feel.
Real quick, can we camp on that for a second? Because I wonder how many husbands and wives. Mm-hmm. The husband or the wife, depending on who it is, it's making a lot of decisions throughout the day, has decision fatigue. And then when a simple question like, hey, what do you want for dinner comes up, they end up in a fight and think that they're incompatible.
Right. All right.
How many divorces
weren't
because they were incompatible, but because someone had fatigue?
Right. An unaddressed or incorrectly addressed issue or challenge. Like it was just because this was we didn't diagnose this properly.
You're always mad. Right. You're always frustrated. You don't love me anymore. Yeah. You don't pursue me. But really, they just needed a day off.
Well, I've seen this in my marriage. You know, Angelina is an elementary school teacher. And that's, what is it? What is it called when you kind of get overwhelmed? If there's like the, what is it called? Overstimulated.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You spend your whole day overstimulated, making decisions throughout the whole day that are for everyone else. You got to. And so we were able to help an issue because when we come home and like, hey, you want to talk? Let's chat. Let's catch up. And she's just like, hey, I need some time. I need space. Well, you can take that as I need space from you. You overwhelm me. I don't really care. You know, you can read into those things.
They're just like, I just need
a little bit of time. And so once we addressed that and called that out, hey, give me 15, 30 minutes of just, let me just go up and zone out and do. And
be pastor down in the car with nothing on.
Yeah. Why do you need to do that? And we can want to diagnose. Yeah. Like, I just need. And that's so helpful. Now, again, we don't always get it right. But when you are able to have those safe conversations address the decision fatigue, compassion fatigue. You
know, that's a big
maybe
one.
You're blunt about something.
Well, it's you like, talked about what do pastors deal with?
Right.
Right. And think about this. As a pastor, there are times where we do get the rejoicing things. We get the weddings.
Mm-hmm.
We get the 50th anniversary celebration that we get to go and pray over the couple. Right. You know, we get the quinceañera in this church. You know, I never knew what that was until I came to The Rock. You know, I was like, what is that? It's like a wedding. You know what I mean? But for a 15-year-old girl. Yeah. And man, they're celebrating. We just did one the other day. People got saved at it.
That's
you know,
so
there was
cool.
an altar call to quince.
So
you know,
cool.
And so it's like. But there are those wonderful rejoicing things, and we all love seeing the altar calls. Mm-hmm. We love hearing the message and shouting hallelujah and amen, and those big victory things where we do a big event, Rock Con, or you know we're coming up on Trunk or Treat, have thousands of people from the community.
Yeah,
those are rejoicing. Those are celebrations. But on the daily, we get the emails.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem in this department. There's a problem financially, right? There's problems. Someone's on their deathbed, and in a church our size. Mm-hmm. We get that multiplied.
Right.
So, you know, I think we've had, I can't remember if it's last year or this year, but I think last year we had maybe 44 funerals, something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I think this year we're on pace to double that.
Yeah, it's rough.
I mean, that's a lot of death. Yeah. You think about that. Divide that by 12.
Yeah.
Right? That's how many people are dying every month.
Yeah.
And we're getting those emails praying for their families, not to mention the amount of cancer, the amount of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of someone broke their leg, someone was in a car accident, or my marriage is falling apart, Pastor, can you pray for me? I mean, a lot of what we get at the back door.
Yeah.
Even though there's a great amount of people that celebrate and we love this church and we're grateful for what you guys are doing, and we're thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's amazing how the good things don't necessarily stick as much as the bad things do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you could have a whole line of people greeting you at the back door that say, hey, that was the best message I ever heard in my life. And one guy that says, you know what, I don't think that you preached the real gospel, you know, and it's like that's the thing that's
and
sticking
that's
to you for the rest of the day, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. We constantly are barraged with so many issues and so many cares and so many things that weigh us down. And then we get on the news and, like I said, everything else out there, it's like the problems politically, the problems socially, problems in not just the nation but the state, and then you take the state to the city level, take it to your neighborhood. You know, there's just a ton of stuff that's constantly weighing us down.
I was like, oh, my gosh. Service was great. There's hope for the world. And you look, and then the world. I can see the meme,
it's on
right?
Fire,
like,
yeah.
Hey, my gosh, people got to say the hope for the world.
Here's the dog sitting in the flames. This is fine.
And, you know, and again, we're not doing what was me. We're not throwing a pity party, but we're acknowledging some of the frustrations, some of the real challenges. And again, the reason why we would even bring this up on a podcast, a topic of conversation, because we know that this is not uncommon for you all listening or people that you go through. So now the question, Pastor Dan, and I you're still in it. You're still in the Mondays or whatever. But what are some things that you've done? Because this isn't your first frustrating day. What are some things that you typically have in place or lean to in these frustrating moments?
Well, I already mentioned one of the things that is important is the Sabbath, which I'm not good at.
Right.
Mm. My wife is not good at it.
Yeah.
We are just go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do so much here at the church. We work more than a 40
right.
every week.
You right.
know, it's like some weeks it's 60.
Yeah.
You know, some
yeah.
weeks it's 80.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on the season.
Yeah.
And depending on what's on us. You know, there's times God wakes us up in the middle of the night to pray.
Yeah.
Or to study.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. And so there's things like, I mean, I've answered emails after midnight.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I couldn't get to them during the day, you know. So when it comes to our days off, to sit and just rest and refresh and, you know, just be in the presence of God like we're supposed to, the house needs attention. Who's
yeah.
doing the dishes?
Right.
Who's doing the laundry? That mm-hmm. stuff never stops.
Yeah.
Our days off, like we mentioned, Monday and Tuesdays, I still got to take my kid to school.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he has zero period.
Yeah.
So if I'm up.
Yeah.
After midnight answering
yeah.
emails,
yeah.
and then I've got to get up at,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the zero
yeah.
period
yeah.
hour to get them off to school. I mean, there's not a lot of sleep,
yeah.
you know, six
right.
hours max.
Yeah.
So it's not great in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a Sabbath, there are times where my wife and I mean, the other day we sat and we binged watched a season of a show.
Yeah.
But in between every episode,
yeah.
we'd get a load of laundry and
yeah.
we'd pull it out on the couch, we'd fold it,
yeah.
put it away, and then
yeah.
we'd start the next show. You know, it's like at least we felt like we were being
yeah.
productive. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And getting stuff done while we rested. Because
right.
it was like we had our brain break,
mm-hmm.
we were able to rest and relax and be together.
Yeah.
But then we also felt like, okay, stuff's getting done,
yeah.
you know, do a load of dishes or whatever it is. And so that's one of the things. The other thing is, you know, biblically, the Bible gives us a lot of great examples. We think of the Bible in terms of the action and the story,
yeah.
you know, and the way we read, what's crazy is like decades can pass in one verse.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is significant
yeah.
because it's like we go from one battle to the next battle to the
yeah.
victory to the, you know,
mm-hmm.
to the shout to the, you know, and
look
the
how
kings.
How cool that was.
Yeah. we go from like, here's this king and then he
yeah.
died and then this king came, you know, but hey, wait, you just read a verse that took you 60 years.
Yeah. Right.
yeah like what, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
what happened in between?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right. Wait, what was that again?
Yeah.
Nothing. No thing.
No thing. Nothing happened. You know, they lived their life. They
yeah.
harvested their grain. They,
mm-hmm.
you know, had frustrating days, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that the Bible does give us the ups and the downs, but it also gives us insight into challenges. And I think about the psalmists. You know, in one place he says, "Why so downcast, O my soul?"
Mm.
He's talking to himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's journaling it out.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
every night before I go to bed, I journal. I just write down.
Yeah.
And some nights, I got to be honest, some nights it's I woke up, I took my son to school, I came home, I ate breakfast. You know, it's
yeah.
that boring.
Right.
Because, again,
yeah.
it's that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
yeah.
happened, right?
Yeah.
It's that space in between things. And so there are days that nothing happened. But like last night, for instance, I wrote in my journal, I started to talk about the frustrations and I started to lay out those things and what my response was to them.
Mm.
And so, you know, again, talking to myself,
yeah.
why so downcast on myself? Well, here's some reasons why. There's some things going on, right? But he doesn't sit at why so downcast on my soul. He says, put your hope in God.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? There's also, I poured out my complaint. Pastor Teresa has been preaching on Sunday nights. She's had two of them now in the book of Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that how she explained it. Like, I knew it. You know how you know
yeah.
things, but you don't know?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So when she said it, it was just like, I got a greater picture of what was really going on in that book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though
yeah.
though I know.
Right. I've read it. I know that. Yeah.
I knew it, but it's
yeah.
like, I didn't know it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? There's a difference.
Yeah.
It dropped on me like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's pretty upset.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty frustrated with life,
right.
you
yeah.
know? And
yeah.
and I've read these verses, and I've even read them in the context, and I understand, and I got it, but like, I get it.
Yeah.
He's really in some. He's in the middle
mm-hmm.
of something,
mm-hmm.
and not just like my day yesterday. My
yeah.
day is nothing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
When you take a look at Israel is under oppressive mm-hmm. rule of right. another, you know, nation yeah. that's coming in to, yeah. to kill. And yeah. I mean, there's some very serious things.
Yeah.
Life as they know it is changing.
Yeah.
And so he pours out his complaint before God. And then he says, I'm going to sit and wait for him to correct me.
Wow.
Right. Because I know I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm going to yeah. listen for what God's going to say. And I think those are the tools that oftentimes we overlook, that we feel like we have to be perfect, so we can't come and bring God the raw, this sucks, God.
Yeah.
Like some people say, no, you're in sin if you say sucks yeah. to God. You know, right. like, no, God, this sucks. I hate this.
Because you're supposed to just be grateful.
Oh, right? Thou, yeah. O Lord,
count
art
it all
high
joy
above
yeah.
the earth, yeah. and I am counting thine pleasures right. in joy. And, you know.
Well, do you think that could contribute towards maybe a non-relational, not real relationship with Jesus, because we're bringing our
yeah.
our only our best, and we're putting up a facade even with the one who we're supposed to be safe with.
Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. I can't complain to God. I don't want him to smite me.
I don't
want to
only come to God yeah. with my problems.
Right. And so, but yeah. yet we see in scripture, and I mean, man, David, I've heard it before, like David was bipolar, bro. Like in one verse, he's... praise the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. The other one, I'm like, what, you know, why?
I despaired even yeah. of life. Yes.
You know, like
I'm in a pit.
The challenges that he was going through.
Yeah.
And God was not, I love how we say that, God is not on Prozac over our issues, right? You know, he doesn't get compassion fatigue.
No.
Right? He is not overwhelmed.
He does not grow weary, neither does right. he grow faint.
Right. It's so good. And I think that we have a counselor. And then even Jesus, who came and knows what we went through.
Yeah.
We have a high priest.
He experienced the flesh.
Yes, that experienced the flesh, grief and sorrow and challenges, maybe even some frustration.
Weariness. And yeah, yeah. Jesus.
I mean, the brother had to nap a lot. Jesus napped. He knew how to nap.
Well.
And we can like Jesus liked to take a nap.
You know, Pastor Antonio, you're preaching really good right now. I think I'm feeling a siesta this afternoon.
Yeah, there we go.
There's another thing that I never knew until I can. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, obviously we're lighthearted about it, but even our lightheartedness and our yeah. heavy-heartedness
sure.
is not overwhelming for God. And so it's not sinful to feel frustrated. I know, and maybe there is a line between a complaining heart about it, but
sure.
that's why I ask you, how do we redirect? You know, where's the practical part, just for the purpose of our conversation, of redirecting? Because this isn't just a complaint or venting podcast, but... obviously, these things really happen. How do we redirect our hearts? Where do we realign ourselves with his heart for our life? And,
yeah.
you know, standing on scriptures and, you know what I'm saying? Getting into the presence of God, even when we don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to hear one more song, but something about just getting into God's presence can bring a peace.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, Pastor, what do you... What okay, again, I don't think we finished on kind of your journey, even what a journey yeah. looks like for you.
Yeah. Well, even I think like duty, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to do things that I'm not feeling, right? But if you didn't brush your teeth when you didn't feel like it, or right. if you didn't comb yeah. your hair or take a shower when you didn't feel like it, you'd yeah. be a pretty dirty person, yeah. right? And that yeah. may cause you some hygiene and health challenges.
Yeah.
And so there are things that we have to do. You know, you may not feel like praying, just pray. Mm-hmm. You know, talk to God, tell God what you can. And if you don't have a lot of words, then just be in his presence. Pray in the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that you can do. Mm-hmm. Same thing, like you said, with worship. There's times where I come into a church service and I don't feel nothing. I don't mm-hmm. feel like raising my hands. I don't yeah. feel like singing a song. I'm tired, or I've got, you know, cares. Sometimes people will catch me on my way out. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mean to put this on you. I know you're getting ready to preach, but...
yeah.
And then I realize, oh, I'm getting this right
here's
now, whether
butt.
I like it or not. You know? So, yeah, but there's times where I'm carrying weights as yeah. I walk out and I'm getting into the church service. I have to get out of my mindset and get into God's presence. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? Well, I'm going to sing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lift my hands. Right. I'm going to focus my heart and my mind on God so that I can now experience his presence. And there's times where I'll walk out there with the weight of the world, every care, no feelings, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But as I worship, all of a sudden the presence of God touches me
yeah.
deeply, mm-hmm. you know, and I start to cry mm-hmm. or I just feel the rush of God, or I feel yeah. the anointing in the presence of God in a fresh way. You know, same thing with your Bible reading, things like that. Sometimes we do things out of duty, and God surprises us and meets us there.
Yeah.
You know, if we were never on our way of duty or doing things out of a dutiful response to what God says to do, I mean, that's obedience, right?
Yeah.
We didn't want to take out the trash when we were younger, but we did it, and we were rewarded for it. And I think it's the same thing with God, that as we do things in faith, we're not always going to have the feels.
Yeah.
But God will reward us, right? Yeah. He's a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him.
Yeah.
You know, and diligence isn't all feelings. Mm-hmm. Diligence is just, I got to do this.
Yeah.
You know, every morning I have to pray.
Yeah.
Every morning I have to get in the word. Every night before bed, I gotta get in the word.
Yeah.
You know, like I've got to pray. I gotta connect with God. Every day I try and worship, you know, in some way. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily singing a song, but lifting my soul to God and surrendering my will to his and bowing before him and saying, God, I'm yours. And that's often how I start my prayers, is in a worship expression, right? Because Jesus taught us, you know, when you pray, our Father who art in heaven, what? Yeah. Hallowed be your name.
Yep.
What is that? That's a worship response to God.
You know, and that's funny, that posture. I saw something, it was a secular podcast, but the title kind of caught my name. I was just kind of browsing something. And it was from a renowned secular psychologist, doctor. And he was talking about how science is supporting people's mental health and their faith in prayer even.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we don't see this very often, but he even made the distinction between meditation and prayer and acknowledgement of a creator or a higher power and even a God and someone who is your higher power, your God.
Right.
And so, again, those were not distinctions that were often made. Sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, just meditate. And, oh, yeah, no, I believe there's a creator. But specifically connecting people of faith in our case, a God, our creator, and Jesus, our savior, and prayers to that, to connection. And this one guy, the guy asked him, because it was a secular podcast, asking him, oh, so how long have you been doing this discipline of prayer? And then he stayed, I think, a year or so. And he's like, and so what have you noticed? He said, a peace. Peace. And so did you not have peace before? Again, he's world renowned, wealthy, well known. No, I did not. I did not know the peace that I now know.
Wow.
In my time of prayer, and he even actually added journaling. And it was so interesting to me because, you know, I think sometimes, and you mentioned that verse about him being a rewarder. I was talking to a friend. I was like, but you know, you almost feel bad. Like, so is it bad that I'm doing it out of a duty because I want? And the use of the scripture to encourage me, like, our faith in knowing that he is going to reward. He tells us that he's going to reward us.
He's the one that put the system in place.
He put the reward system.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not a religious thing to do. It's you do this, I will reward that with my presence. You know, it's the reward is not, you know, gold or silver and gold. I don't. But man, the peace that I can offer, I will reward you with blessings, with provision, with these things. And so it's those weights get to come off, because I think, you know, we can fear God in a healthy way. But sometimes the unhealthy way of fearing, like if he's just going to, you know, eternal damnation for these little things, Pastor, that are just kind of normal thoughts, right? And frustration.
Well, and I always go back to the examples that we get in scripture, and there were people, I mean, it's amazing to me how often the Bible talks about things like the hour of prayer. Think about that for a second. It was expected you're going to go pray at this hour. Right? Now, we don't have those sorts of religious formats on our life.
Right.
But on their way to the hour of prayer, James and John, Peter and the apostles got to see an amazing miracle, right? Silver and gold we do not have, but in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Yeah. And it just blew everything open at that point, and really got the name of Jesus out there. And I mean, it got the apostles in jail, but they were able to witness to the Sanhedrin in fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus said, you're going to go before leaders and kings, right? And those in authority. And that the Holy Spirit would speak on your behalf in that moment. And so they got to experience something on their way to a dutiful response to, this is what we do. We pray at this hour. You know, I love how it talks about Jesus was in the synagogue, as was his custom.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. That means that Jesus went to church on the regular.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. He was raised a Jewish man, yeah, right?
Right.
In a Jewish home.
Yeah.
Circumcised on the eighth day. All the religious things that they were supposed to do, he did. He completely fulfilled it.
Yes.
He was never in sin and never crossed any lines as far as the religious duties.
Mm-hmm.
Civic duties never crossed the line, right?
Right.
Anything outside of that. Jesus never sinned. And yes, he did a lot of that stuff out of duty, but it was customary.
Yeah.
See, there are things that I think that we think, man, if it's monotonous, mm-hmm. it's bad. We need to switch it up, which, right. yes, there are certain things that definitely take a different way home from work.
Right.
You yeah. know what I mean? Like, yeah. Find a new vacation spot, you know, yeah. if you're bored at vacation or whatever, yeah. you know, like, sure, like, quit doing puzzles and start yeah. doing Sudoku. I don't know, yeah. you know, like, whatever it needs to be to mix it up and give you some spice to your life, you know?
Yeah.
Try a new restaurant.
Yeah.
Great. Those are fun things.
Yeah.
But as far as the things that bring us close to God and the things that God prescribes, you know, that's like saying, you know, my diet,
mm-hmm.
like I'm going to stop eating so healthy. I'm just going to eat chips and right. drink soda yeah. and, you yeah. know, that sort of thing. It's like, no,
right.
stay on the healthy diet, mm-hmm. stay on the healthy regimen. You know,
yeah.
you can mix it up within these fruits and vegetables and yeah. whole grains and, you know, the things that you're supposed to be eating. Let's go there
yeah.
and mix it up within that. But as far as this stuff, don't do this stuff,
yeah.
you know, or don't just like neglect it completely.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same thing with our religious duties, that when we get into a habit or a customary,
mm-hmm.
now you don't want your relationship with God to grow cold.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that we do out of duty and obligation that when we do them, that I believe that they bring us closer to God, not further away from God.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you can have a very religious relationship with God where mm-hmm. it's just cold and
yeah.
dead, and it's just rote prayers mm-hmm. and just reading the scriptures, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But there's also where, like I said, you don't feel like it, but you do it anyways because you love God.
Yeah.
And because you're doing it out of faith.
Yeah.
Right? And because it was your custom, because you were faithful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You continue to do things even when you didn't see results. You know what? I haven't seen what I'm needing to see yet, but I'm going to keep pursuing God.
Right.
I'm going to keep reading the scripture. I'm going to keep praying.
Yeah.
And God's going to show up with that expectation in your heart that says, you know what? And if anything, that's where you should mix it up.
Yeah.
Is your mindset.
No,
I'm
good.
Not monotonous. I'm yeah. not. I've got a God is real. God's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is, then he's moving. He's living. He's active. He's breathing. And God wants to talk to me. So when I talk to him, I can expect he's going to talk to me.
Yeah.
Boom, your relationship with God yeah. is on fire.
I love that.
Right?
Well, you've turned it around, Pastor Dan. I do. But
I'm feeling
also,
better.
I know. I also I feel led to share because I feel led to kind of make sure we cross this line as well in that, you know, because we've talked about frustration, almost kind of given permission. Oh, my gosh. Pastors feel frustrated.
If you cut us, we'll bleed.
Right. It's okay. I feel frustrated. But what what I feel led to touch on is, not to camp out there.
Oh, no.
Because a day of frustration, a moment, or even a season where you maybe feel frustrated with some monotony, if you camp out there, then that's where bitterness happens, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like water.
Stagnancy.
You leave water stagnancy, yep. it's just going to it's gonna get bad. It's
stirred
gonna
up.
It's going to – what brings life, like water, will get stagnant and have infection and bacteria, all this
yeah.
bad stuff. And even within us, there has to be that inlet and outlet that is coming. So if you are in a frustrated season, if you know, let's not stay there.
No.
And we've addressed it in our conversation today, how to kind of catch ourselves out. And so maybe for someone who can't get out of a funk, you know, what turned into what was a bad afternoon, was a
bad
day,
week,
a bad
yeah.
week, a bad maybe season.
Yeah.
And there now is just kind of like I'm just find myself in this bitter and complaining state. You know, where's the shakeup? You know, again, getting in God's house, of course, you know, reading your word and prayer, awesome. But those are, it's not just simply do this. Those are, what was it, prescriptive, not just descriptive.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah.
prescriptive thing.
Prescriptive, yeah.
But also, you know, getting in community and not just hanging out with people who will gas you up, as you know, we say in modern vernacular of kind of
yeah.
co-sign with you and hang out. Let me hang out in the dirt with you. Like, hey, let's pull you
I'm
out of this thing.
You, yeah.
You know, even just kind of like today, like, all right, let's talk about your frustrating day, but what do we do now?
Well, and that's where, you know, oftentimes iron sharpens iron, mm-hmm. you know, but it says that a man will sharpen the countenance.
Mm, That's good.
Of his friend.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's so important that when you get the right faith-filled friends,
yeah,
the right people around you lift you up. And that was part of the thing when, you know, in our frustration, mm-hmm. you know, where we were, isolation sometimes can take you to that. Now, there's, like we said, the Sabbath,
yeah,
solitude, sometimes yeah. that's what you need mm-hmm. in order to get out of your funk, because you need to silence the voices and the noise and that sort of a thing. And I understand parents with children, things like that. Again, yeah. your duty and your obligations. You can't do that the way others would. You can't take a week and just be by yourself. You can't yeah. just go, you know, and just be on the beach all day. You've got to, yeah. you know, make lunches, and you got to drive them to school and to soccer practice and those things. I get that. We're in that season, yeah. you know. But at the same time, if you have others on the journey too, mm-hmm. it does help, you yeah. know. And we can get around people that will stir you up and remind you of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Or pray with you, you know, or just check in and see how you're doing. Sometimes yeah. it's just nice to know someone wants to know how you're doing.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know, and you just yeah. reach out, hey, how's your day going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is it getting any better? Sometimes that, it may not be any yeah. better, but I'm better.
Yeah.
yeah. Because you checked on me, you know, yeah. I felt good. That right. that felt nice to know that someone's in it with me.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
And maybe no one does that for you. Well, then you do that for someone else.
Sure.
Sow those seeds.
Here's one of the crazy things, you know, and this has been on my heart a lot, and we'll see where God takes us with this. But, you know, even our viewers and listeners, we'll see where God takes it with you. Reaching out to somebody. Jesus said that there are rewards that you can't get on this earth.
Mm.
Only God will reward you for what we do for others
wow.
that they can't repay. That's but the Bible says God himself will repay. That's been on my mind a lot lately. You know, sometimes we're in a funk because we are only receiving. It's only yeah. about us,
right?
And it's time to give.
That's good.
It's time to bless someone else.
Yeah.
And not just the guy on the street with a sign.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Give alms, mm-hmm. give encouragement, all those things. But, you know, the poor
yeah.
is not just the guy on the street with a sign. The right. poor could be your neighbor who can't afford the rent.
Yeah.
The poor could be the single mom who's wondering how she's going to get gifts for Christmas.
Right.
The poor could be the people in the convalescent home.
Yeah.
That have no family to visit them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me, you yeah. know? And even giving a cup of cold water to one of these little ones,
yeah.
you have a reward. There's certain things that we can do to where it puts us in that position yeah. of the rewards of God. And yeah. I tell you, most of the time when I reach out and when I do outreach and stuff like that, I dread yeah. it beforehand and yeah. then I love it afterwards. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I walk away feeling like a new man.
Yeah.
Like, going into it, I hate this. I don't want to do this. I can't believe I'm forcing. And then afterwards, I'm like, when can I do that again?
Yeah.
Why did that have to end? Why did that have to stop? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's all it takes. Yeah. I mean, just take a walk on a Saturday morning in the food distribution center here at The Rock. Your life will change.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's a place to give out. You can. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pastor Dan.
Yeah, we're not the
so
Dead
good.
Sea. We're no. Sea of Galilee, right?
That's right.
Outflow.
That is so life. Cool, Pastor Dan, because, again, our flesh wants comfort.
Yeah.
And so it's like, whatever is not hardest for me. And so sometimes all I just want to sit in this funk. Right. And the way out sometimes is yeah. It's a hard way out.
Yeah. Join the prison ministry, yeah. go and rock in the streets, homeless ministry. I mean, there's yeah. so many ways. Yeah. Be a shuttle driver here right. at The Rock. Bus people to church who don't have a ride.
Yeah. It's amazing. And again, it's kind of speaking of science, what we're finding. And so I love this, Pastor. How science, people have said that God and science, no, science is finally catching up with what God has been saying.
100%.
You know, but they're talking about how they recognize what gratitude does.
Yeah.
What gratitude does for the brain, for the mind. It's like, oh, we've known that from the scripture.
Gratitude, kindness, yes. all those things. You
so
know, those
things
open.
How there's healing properties even in our, the dopamine and all the chemistry that's yeah. taking place in our brain and getting rid of cortisol and all, again, scientific explanation for all the things that God already told us to do.
Yeah.
And so it's the healing power that God has in his power within us. And I love that, Pastor. Pastor, would you pray for us as we conclude? Maybe
absolutely.
Pray for people that are maybe really relating to the moment, to the day, and then we'll pray for our days, right? For our
yeah,
for your Monday.
Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you, God, that even though we may have frustrating days, like the psalmist said, we can talk to ourselves and we can talk to you, God. And we could put our hope and our trust in you. We don't have to stay downcast or overwhelmed, Lord God. The only one we want to be overwhelmed by is you, your presence and your spirit. And so, God, I pray for those that are having frustrating days, God. Those that maybe it's worse than frustration. It might be fatigue. It might be that they're overwhelmed and they're not knowing how they're going to make it another day, God. I thank you, Lord, that your comfort and your peace are with them right now, God, that they can just sense it in their spirit, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that you would just settle their hearts, settle their minds, God. Lord, if it's something that they need in their life, whether it be a Sabbath day or maybe some extended time, God, I pray, Lord, that you would open the doors and the ways for them to get a hold of those things in their life. God, it might just be time management. It might be restructuring priorities. God, I thank you, Lord, that you speak to them. I pray, Father God, for those who maybe need some faith-filled friends around them and they don't know where to even look, where to even start. They don't know how to get those people in their life. God, I pray that you would send laborers across our path, God, people that can encourage them, God, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a relative, whether it's someone in church, God. I thank you, Lord. It could be all those places, God, that you know how to get people into community. You place the solitary in families. And so, God, you know how to get us where we need to be with who you need us to be with. And so, God, I pray, Lord, for those God connections, Lord, for those friendships, and just for a lift, God. Lord, if anything else, we can be happy and excited that Jesus is on the throne, that we have a future, we have a hope. The hope of glory is in us now. And no matter what we encounter or experience on this earth as we travel through, God, I thank you, Lord, that we can remind ourselves we're just passing through, that in this world we will have trouble. And God, we can know that it's okay. This world is designed to bring us down, to fight against us, Lord. And we know that that's strengthening us and producing patience in us, God, and godly character. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, for those that are just struggling, going, why does this keep happening? It feels like the devil is picking on me. It feels like God's mad at me. But God, I know, Lord, that they know that you love them. And so, God, I pray that they would experience your love, God, that they would know what you're doing in this season. And God, even if it is a silent season, God, that in that solitude, even in that obscurity and boredom, God, that we can know that you're working and that you're up to something good. Father, we love you and we give you praise, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Dan, for taking the time. Thank you all for listening. We pray that you were encouraged. I have a feeling that you were. Do us a favor. Like, share, subscribe. Again, that like button, again, it doesn't just make us feel good, although I'd be lying if I say it didn't. But hey, encourage us. When you see somebody talking about, come talk to us. We'd love to talk to you guys if you are a listener of the podcast. But by liking and sharing, it also helps get the word out to other people and that they're encouraged as well. We're talking about being an outlet.
Hey, there you go.
Don't just take it all in. Share it with somebody you love. And we will see you next time. God bless you.